I want to start today by grounding us right here in the present. It's February 2nd, 2026.
Here we are.
Do me a favor. Just pick up your smartphone. You can feel the weight of it right now. Unlock it and just look at that home screen. Really look at it.
And if you're like pretty much everyone else, you're staring at a grid. A colorful, maybe a little chaotic mosaic of what? 40, 50, 100 little squares?
Exactly. All those icons, the little red badges screaming for your attention. I mean, we've spent the better part of 15 years organizing our lives around these little digital tiles.
We really have.
But here's the thing, and this might sting a bit. That screen you're holding, it's a relic. You're basically looking at a museum piece.
It sounds a little aggressive, I know. But all the evidence, it's just undeniable. We are standing on the edge of a shift that makes the move from, say, the BlackBerry to the iPhone look like a minor software update.
We're talking about the death of the App Store. And I don't just mean, you know, a dip in downloads. I mean the literal end of the way we interact with technology, where you solve a problem by tapping on a branded square.
Right.
To help us navigate this, we're doing a deep dive on a landmark article today. It's titled The Dawn of the Autonomous Agentic OS by Majid, co-authored with, and this is perfect, Inspector Gemini.
Which is just the perfect meta-commentary on the topic itself.
Isn't it? So our mission today is to unpack why we're moving from a world of clicking icons to a world of autonomous AI agents. And more importantly, what happens to us, to you, when the software starts driving itself.
It's the shift from you working for your phone to your phone finally working for you.
Okay, so let's get into it. If apps are dying, what replaces them? That's the million-dollar question.
And the answer is the breakthrough tech of 2026. It's the large action model, or LAM.
The LAM. That's the acronym of the year. I'm calling it now.
It has to be. And the key word there is action. You see, a few years back, everyone was obsessed with LLMs, large language models.
Right. ChatGPT, Gemini, all of that. They were impressive, don't get me wrong. They could write a poem about your breakfast.
But they were passive. They were brains in a jar. They could talk. They could reason. But they couldn't do anything.
Exactly. You still had to copy their output, open another app, paste it in, click the buttons yourself.
That is the crucial distinction. An LLM was like a consultant that gave you advice. A LAM, the large action model, is totally different because it understands interfaces.
So it understands how a website works, how an app is laid out?
Precisely. The article uses this great analogy. A LAM can navigate a website just like a human does. It sees a button, it knows to click it, it sees a form, it knows to fill it out, it completes the task.
So you no longer use the app. The agent does the using for you.
The era of navigating menus is ending. You just state your intent.
Okay, so this brings us to the agentic OS showdown that the article talks about.
Yeah.
Because this isn't some niche experiment.
Oh, no. The biggest players are all in. They have to be.
Let's break down the big three then. We've got Apple, Google, and Microsoft. And they're all taking really different philosophical approaches here.
Completely different.
Let's start with Apple. We're finally seeing Siri 2.0.
Finally, yes.
For a decade, Siri was, you know, kind of a punchline. It could set a timer, maybe. But Siri 2.0 is something Apple is calling a cross-app conductor.
And that phrasing is so deliberate. Apple's big advantage is they own the hardware and the OS. So their approach isn't about just browsing the web. It's about deep, deep integration.
So Siri can now reach inside your apps.
It's breaking down the silos. In old iOS, every app was sandboxed, right? Data couldn't touch other data.
Right.
Now Siri 2.0 can say, grab a photo from your Photos app, open your email app, attach it, check your calendar for an open slot, and then send an invite to a contact.
And it threads the needle through all those different apps without you ever opening one.
Not one.
But think about what that does to the developers. If I never open the Uber app, I never see their ads, I never see their branding, Apple's essentially Sherlocking the entire interface layer of the App Store.
That's the tension, exactly. Apple is turning third-party apps into headless services. They just provide the data, but Apple provides the experience.
Which is great for me, the user.
But a potential nightmare for the developer economy.
Okay, now let's contrast that with Google. Their play with Gemini computer use feels, I don't know, more aggressive.
It's much more visceral. I mean, Google lives on the web, not just on the device. So their model is less about elegant integration and more about just taking over the controls.
The article describes it so vividly. It says, Gemini literally grabs the mouse and keyboard.
It acts as your proxy. You're sitting at your computer and you just tell it, go through this messy spreadsheet, find every client who spent less than $500, and move them to the inactive list in our CRM.
And you can actually watch your cursor move across the screen and do it.
You watch it click the buttons. It's like a ghost writing your computer. It can work on any website, even old clunky ones without proper APIs.
That is the Action Evolution in its purest form.
For sure. It's incredibly powerful, but also a little chaotic.
And then you have Microsoft. And they're playing a totally different game. They're not trying to be your lifestyle assistant. They're trying to be your employee.
Microsoft Digital Teammates. The branding shift there matters. They don't call them tools. They call them coworkers.
That's the part that really struck me. We're going from software as a service to software as labor.
Right. A digital teammate doesn't just help you write an email. It joins the Zoom meeting with you. It listens. It takes notes. It can even analyze sentiment.
And it acts independently.
It does. It might ping you after the meeting and say, hey, the client seemed a bit hesitant on the pricing. I've drafted 3 alternative proposals based on our last few successful deals. Which one should I send?
That's not a tool. That is a junior analyst.
Precisely. And that changes the whole economic model. You're not paying a subscription for a word processor. You're paying a salary for a digital worker.
So we have the conductor from Apple, the ghost in the machine from Google, and the digital employee from Microsoft. But they all lead to the same place, visually. And this is the part I find hardest to wrap my head around.
The empty phone.
The empty phone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just try to picture it. You take your phone and you just wipe it clean. No Instagram icon, no bank app, no WhatsApp, gone.
It's the logical conclusion, right? If the agent is doing all the navigating, why do you need the map?
So what's left?
What you're left with is the intent bar, just a single text field, or maybe just a listening microphone. The article calls it the invisible UI.
It's the death of browsing.
It's a philosophy called intent-based computing. The idea is that the interface itself is friction. It's an obstacle. You don't want to open the pizza app and scroll through menus. You just want the pizza.
So in this world, I just say, get me a pepperoni pizza, and the phone goes dark. 30 minutes later, the doorbell rings.
That is the promise. The how becomes totally irrelevant. Only the what matters.
But this is where my anxiety spikes. And I know I'm not the only one.
This is the scary part.
Yeah. We are talking about an AI that can log into my bank account. An AI that reads my private texts. I mean, if we're handing over the keys to the entire kingdom, one little hack and my life is just over.
It is, absolutely. Security is no longer just a feature. It's the entire foundation of the system. If you don't trust the agent, the whole thing just collapses.
The source mentions agent-to-agent verification protocols.
Oh.
What does that actually mean, though? Because trust me, bro, isn't going to work for my bank account.
Okay, so think of it this way. In the old world, our world right now, security is based on user authentication. You typing a password, you scanning your face.
Right. Me, the human.
Exactly. Agent-to-agent, or A2A, verification is different. It's a cryptographic negotiation between two machines. So your personal agent needs to pay a bill, and it contacts your bank's agent. Your agent presents a digitally signed token. It's a very specific, limited-use credential. It proves who it represents without sharing your actual password.
Right.
It doesn't even share your full identity.
So it's not giving them the keys.
No, it's showing a temporary verified badge that says, I am authorized to spend $50 here for this person, and the bank's agent just verifies the badge, not the person behind it.
That is a fascinating flip, because we usually think of the human as the safeguard. You're saying the human is actually the weak link.
In a security context.
Yeah.
100%. A perfectly coded A2A protocol is infinitely more secure than a tired, distracted human clicking on a phishing link in an email.
So we have the tech, we have the security. But we still have to tackle the big philosophical question the article brings up.
Freedom versus dependence.
The Wall-E problem.
Yeah, exactly.
If I stop navigating the web, do I forget how it works? If I stop managing my own calendar, do I lose my sense of time? Are we just becoming helpless?
It's a valid fear. But the author, Majid, he flips this. He argues we're looking at it all wrong. It isn't about dependence. It's about liberation from what he calls digital chores.
I can buy that. I mean, let's be honest. Resetting a password isn't a valuable life skill. Filling out a shipping form isn't a creative act.
It's just admin. It's the sludge of modern life.
Okay.
For the last 15 years, the smartphone has turned us all into our own IT department. We manage updates, storage, notifications. We're doing work the computer should be doing for us.
So the argument is, by handing off all that admin, we're not losing agency. We're buying back time.
Time for things humans are actually good at. creativity, strategy, empathy, or, you know, just staring at the clouds instead of staring at a screen.
It's the transition from AI talking to AI finally doing
AI clocking in for its shift so we can finally clock out. That's the optimistic view, and I mostly agree with it, but...
Oh, I feel a butt coming.
There is a final thought here, a really provocative one that we need to chew on, and it connects right back to that intent-based computing idea. If the user interface becomes completely invisible, if we only ever see the final result and we never see the process...
We lose transparency.
We lose transparency. Think about getting a bank loan. Your agent talks to the bank's agent. They negotiate rates. They agree on terms. It all happens with A2A protocols. All you get is a notification. Loan approved.
And I'm happy. I got the result I wanted.
You're happy. But you didn't see the negotiation. You didn't see the data points they used to judge you. You are completely cut out of the loop of how your own life is being administered.
It becomes a black box. A really convenient, really efficient black box.
Human interaction doesn't just decrease. In this administrative layer of society, it becomes obsolete. We are effectively passengers in our own lives. We're in the backseat, telling the car where to go, and just trusting that the machine knows the best way to get there.
And we forget how to drive.
And we aren't even allowed to touch the steering wheel because the interface itself is gone.
That is equally liberating and terrifying. The ultimate trade-off.
It is. The friction is gone, but so is the control.
Well, on that note, I think I'm going to go scare at my messy grid of icons for a bit longer. Appreciate them while they're still here.
Like visiting a museum.
Exactly. So the question we're leaving you with is, are you ready to let go of the steering wheel? Thanks for diving deep with us.
Until next time.